Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. We're seeking God for his wisdom in our lives this month through the book of Proverbs. And I'm asking you to join me as we go through the month of January, reading a chapter a day. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. I'll read a few verses here. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Wisdom and understanding, very important phrases in the book of Proverbs. "And if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You'll get to know God. You'll find him. And then verse 6, where does wisdom come from? "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Last week, I asked you to join me in meditating and learning or focusing on one scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Does anyone know what that says, maybe without looking, or even if you paraphrase it? I'll get you started. Wisdom is the, what's that? The principal thing, right? "Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." That's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." The word "get" there means to buy or to acquire. So wisdom and understanding are so important, the scripture tells us, pay the price, put forth the effort to gain them. Then this week, I would like to ask you to focus on this verse, because this verse is the key to gaining godly wisdom and understanding. It's over in Proverbs chapter 9, if you would turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. And I'll pause, stop for a moment. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The Bible says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So how do we gain God's wisdom? The Bible tells us here the first step is to fear the Lord. Now, that word "fear," it can mean terror or like fright, but it also means reverence and awe, and that's how it's applied to God here. It's to have such a reverence and an awe of God for who he is that it produces worship and obedience to him. That's the key. See, the wrong kind of fear will run from God. Remember what happened as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to hide from him. So sin will cause us to run from God, but if we understand how awesome he is and that he is love and he wants us to come to him, not run from him, then it will produce something in us of a worship and dedication and a desire to please him. That's the proper fear of the Lord. So let me give you this real simple definition about the word wisdom. The word wisdom just in general can mean like skills for living, but here's how I want you to ask you to maybe write it down if you want to write this as a note. Wisdom from scripture is different from wisdom, like there is a wisdom to gardening, there is a wisdom to hunting, there is a wisdom to building. They're all good. But the wisdom from scripture means skills for godly living. That's the key. Because the book of Proverbs, like the rest of scripture, ultimately is designed to draw us to God and his will. So wisdom, whenever you read that in the scripture here, think about its skills for godly living. If you were here last week, you may remember that I took the word proverb and broke it down in English and said pro and verb. Pro, positive, and verb is a what kind of word? An action. So I think of Proverbs, proverbs as positive action. It's never just to learn scripture or to know it. It's always to live it. That's the key. Skills for godly living. So proverbs, positive action. One word for wisdom actually means to be successful or to prosper. Don't you know God wants us to be successful in living by his word and in doing his will? And this morning, I want to center today and God willing next week on the message, if you want to just write the topic down, two very important areas where we really, I believe, we all need God's wisdom and understanding are in our relationships with our family and friends. So today, the title of the message is just simply Family and Friends, Part 1. And then, God willing, next week, I'll have a concluding and a complimentary Family and Friends, Part 2. So family and friends. And I put the notes from last week's message on the website. So we talked about how to get God's wisdom. And you can, if you check those out, you might want to write a comment. Brother Smitty left a comment last week. I'm going to try to do this, where you said that getting godly wisdom is good for the stability of our inner man. Doesn't that fit with that scripture in James that says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God? Because the context there is, ask God for wisdom when you're going through various trials and your faith is being tested so that you can count it all joy and let perseverance have its work in you to bring us to maturity and lacking nothing in Christ. Then he says, if you need wisdom, if you're lacking wisdom, ask. But ask in faith, because if we ask and we're doubting God and we're doubting God's word, he said we'll be like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, we'll be up and down in our faith if we doubt God and his word. So if God says we can ask him, let's ask and then expect him to answer and to lead us out. So, I already have them up now, the notes from today's message, if you want to check it out. Let me just give it to you real quick, clmfamily.org. It's just the website, clmfamily.org. There's a link that says from the pastor. If you click that, you'll see the messages, all right? So today, let me give you three areas that I believe are so important that we are to believe God for wisdom in, and it's wisdom to believe God for these in our relationships, whether we're single, married, parent, child, whatever it is, family and friends. I believe these three truths will be a help to us. And here's the first one. Wisdom believes God for, number one, our identity. So wisdom believes God for our, number one, identity. We hear in the news sometimes, maybe occasionally, about identity theft, and how someone has their identity stolen and it cost them a lot of money and they went through a big headache and hassle to try to recover their identity. People identify themselves different ways today. In the Bible, in fact, before I give you this scripture, I'll just say this. The devil is an identity thief. And he wants us to believe lies about God. He wants us to believe lies about ourselves, and he wants us to believe lies about others that will lead us to sin or that will lead us to live spiritually barren lives for the Lord. This morning, I'm saying, let's recover our true identity and let the one who loves us most identify us and define us and build our lives on who he says we are in him. If you want to just write this scripture down, I want to ask you to stay in Proverbs. Let me just tell it to you. There are two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 21. Verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I love that. See that? The Bible presents a bad news, good news. The bad news is that we have all sinned. We've broken the law of a holy God, and our sin separates us from him in time and eternity. The good news is that he loved us so much that he didn't want us to stay separated, and he sent his sinless son who came and lived an exemplary life for us, Jesus, the Son of God. And not only did he live a perfect life, he laid his life down for us. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He paid for them all. When he said, it is finished, there will never be a sin a human has ever committed or ever will commit that was not paid for by Jesus on the cross. 3 days later, he came back to life to verify who he is, and he has ascended on high and he is Lord. And when God's Spirit draws us to that reality, there is a repentance turning from and faith turning to, from my way to God's way, from unbelief to believing in Jesus as Lord. Then he forgives our sin. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and he makes us new. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, he, the Father, became sin for us. He, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if I'm in Christ, if Jesus is my Lord, his Spirit indwells me, he's made me new, and he made me righteous. Now, do we always feel righteous? Do we always act righteous? But the truth is, if we're in Christ, it's not based on my living, it's on his. But then we do have the responsibility to say, I believe that truth and I'm going to live it out. Does that make sense? So we live up to who we are in Christ. We live up to who God says we are in him. Now, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 12? Proverbs chapter 12. Live up to who you are. Identity. Would you say identity? So believe God for our identity. The Bible says this, Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. But wait a minute, am I good? Well, it depends on who you ask, maybe, I don't know. But if I have received Jesus as Lord and his Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, his goodness is in me, and then he calls me to live that out. So a good man is approved. He gains favor from the Lord. Now would you turn to Proverbs 18, talking about family and friends. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. The scripture reads, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So a good man, a good woman. Now, if you want to just write this down, in Psalms 133, the Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2 says this, that unity is like the precious anointing oil poured upon the head of Aaron the high priest and flowing down his beard. That word precious is the same word translated good here in Proverbs 12:2 and 18:22. So he who finds a wife finds a precious. How about this? The New Living Translation says, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure. So I want to ask you, that's right. And all the ladies said, no. I want to ask you, will you believe God and then see yourself as precious and treasured and valuable by your Father in heaven? But then live it out so that, will you see yourself as a good friend, first of all? Let me say it that way. You're a good friend. And then live up to your identity as a good friend. Single or married, doesn't matter. If you, for those of us married men, will we see ourselves as good husbands and then live up to our identity? Ladies, married ladies, will you see yourselves as good wives and live up to your identity in Christ? Whatever area it may be, whether it's parents, whatever it is, however we apply this and live it out, I believe this is what the Lord wants us to see here. Let me give you one more scripture here on that. The Bible says, I'll show you the scripture. He who follows righteousness and mercy or faithful love finds something. So in my mind, I'm thinking, if we follow righteousness and faithful love, if we search for it, then what do I expect to find? Righteousness and faithful love. But that's not how this scripture is worded. Proverbs 21, 21. Would you turn there? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21. And I want to say something to those who are single and maybe desire to marry. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21 says, he who follows righteousness and mercy, see the word finds? It's the same word. It says finds a wife, finds a good thing. So he says, if you follow righteousness and mercy, it's not just righteousness and mercy you're going to find. You're going to find life, righteousness, and honor along the way. Now, if we apply that to Proverbs 18, 22, if I follow and pursue the Lord and his will for my life, so I'm pursuing, I'm following him, and I find a godly spouse to join me along the way, it's a good thing. Amen. So, because we're going in the same direction. Now, I would just say to the singles, if you're single and you want to marry, look for godly virtues in a spouse. Now, he may be handsome and he will be to you. That's good. She may be fine and she will be to you, and that's great. That's fine. But go beyond just the appearance and look for some godly virtues in their lives as well. And then let me say this. I can't tell you what to do, but if you date someone and they treat you less than is precious and treasured and valuable, again, I can't tell you what to do, but if I could, I would tell you, ditch them. In love, unfriend them, whatever you got to do, and move on. You stay on the path with the Lord and trust him to order your steps in a way, because God can do it. So wisdom is to believe God for our identity. Number two, wisdom is to believe God for our purity. So identity and purity. See, if we build our lives on our identity in Christ, who God says we are, it will help us overcome insecurity and immorality. I really believe this. I've struggled with insecurity throughout my life for whatever reason. And I believe when we're really struggling with insecurity, I believe I've grown. I believe by God's grace, he's helped me. I don't think I've arrived. I don't say that about anything, but he has helped me. And I believe the more secure we are in Christ, some temptations aren't as strong, because I'm not having to, if I'm insecure, then I'm looking for someone to do something to validate me or give me something that God wants to give me in his will. And if I'm so insecure that I'm not looking to God to meet that need, then it makes me more vulnerable to a temptation of the devil to meet that need illegitimately. So our identity and then our purity. So we don't have to be a slave to what others think of us. Let's please the Lord. And then if somebody approves of us and loves us and likes us, that's great. But if not, if our ways please the Lord, that's the main thing. So would you turn to Proverbs chapter 5? I'm just going to read a few verses here. Identity and purity. Would you say that with me? Identity and purity. Just read a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. It's like worded like in a poetic imagery about just being faithful to our husband or wife. So it says this, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. So God tells us to rejoice and to have a physical relationship with our husband or wife that bonds us in a way that is exclusive. The Bible calls marriage a covenant. This is why it's so important. In a covenant, we give ourselves exclusively to one another in love. So to be faithful to one another is to honor God in that relationship and to find our joy and even that physical needs met within that loving commitment of the covenant of marriage. Does that make sense? So we don't cheapen God's covenant by going outside of the covenant. Now, temptation is not sin, but we want to make sure we use wisdom to prepare to help us overcome the temptations and to walk in victory. Would you turn to chapter 6? I'll let you, you can finish reading the rest of that little section on that if you like, okay? It actually says, let her intoxicate you by her love. How about that? All right? And there's something of when we join together physically, it's not just physical, our soul is involved. God designed us that way so that we bond together. So the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32. It says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. That word there, understanding, is really more often translated heart, and it probably refers to the conscience. We go against our conscience or we harden our conscience to break that commitment to one another. And it says, he who does so destroys or damages his own soul. So if we're not faithful to one another, there is something that can take place that damages our emotions. Now, God can, we can repent, we can be forgiven, and God can heal, but we're not to take that lightly. Let's do what God says and rejoice and enjoy one another and be faithful to our spouses. The Bible says this in the New Testament. One more scripture, if you want to just write it down. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife render to her husband the affection due him. So he says, be affectionate with one another and protect the purity of your marriage. All right? And the purity of your heart, because purity, like immorality, doesn't begin on the outside. It begins in our heart and mind. I'll say that again. Purity, like immorality, begins in our heart and mind. Again, it's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. We want to be wise to prepare for the temptations. And here's three steps I believe we can take that are very practical. First of all, guard your heart. As the proverb says, guard your heart. The more junk I let in, the more I have to battle. And I'll say this, I'm glad that pornography and so forth, now there were magazines out and so forth when I was coming along, but it's so rampant and so available today. I believe though, by the power of God, we can have victory and we can renew our minds. But we've got to trust him. But we don't want to just put temptation in front of us. Guard your heart. Then pursue purity. And then the corresponding side of that is avoid or flee immorality. Remember what Joseph did when another man's wife tried to lure him on? He ran. I've learned this, I hope. A good run can beat a bad stand. A bad stand, we fall. And there are some temptations we don't need to subject ourselves to. Let's get away as fast as we can. So guard your heart, pursue purity, and then flee immorality. So wisdom is to build these truths into our lives, to build on who God says we are, our identity, and then our purity, and then finally, our victory. So wisdom believes God for our identity, purity, and victory. Would you say this after me? Would you say wisdom, believes God, for our identity, purity, and victory. Then Proverbs chapter 21, would you look at this one verse with me? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31. depending on your translation, the New King James says it like this: the horse is prepared for the battle, but for the day of battle, I'm sorry. Horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance or victory is of the Lord. Some translations say delivery or deliverance. Some translations say victory and so forth. It's the same word. So ultimately, the victory in our battles comes from the Lord. It's not our human willpower or strength or whatever it is. There are some battles that we need God's help to win. And I would say all of them, but we sure need God's help, but his help is available. Aren't you glad he's all powerful? He's never lost a battle. He's never lost the war. He won't lose any. And through him, we are more than conquerors. So ultimate victory in our battles comes from the Lord. And he wants us to, first of all, trust him to walk in victory. So if I'm facing a temptation, God doesn't want me iffy like, well, I don't know, I'm kind of half. No, he wants me to trust him to help me walk in victory. And not only that, because how many of us know sometimes even when we want to please God, we fall short. So he wants us to trust him not only to help us walk in victory, he wants us to trust him that when we do fall, I trust him to help me get back up, repent quickly, and keep walking with him so we stay in close fellowship. We need him, and he's available. That's wisdom. See, it's not wise to say, oh, I messed up, and I just beat myself down. And I'm not saying take sin lightly. I'm saying it's not wise to allow it to distance ourselves from God so that the very one we need to help us, we rob ourselves of his grace because we're not close to him. I'm simply saying have a tender heart, repent quickly, but then come to the Lord, confess it, don't make excuses, don't blame anyone else. Just simply say, God, I'm sorry, I sinned, and I want to ask you to forgive me. And he will. The price was already paid. Thank God for that. Let me give you one last scripture. Would you join me in Colossians chapter 1? This is a prayer I pray for all of us regularly. Colossians chapter 1, wisdom and understanding. Before I read, it's a prayer there in the New Testament. Before I read it, I just want to encourage us all. We must continually renew our mind because we are assaulted constantly with wrong thoughts, evil thoughts, accusations, condemnations, whatever it may be in our mind. So we must put forth the effort, as the scripture tells us, renew our minds, put old mess off and put the new on. Renew our minds for who we are in Christ. I need to renew my mind about living up to being a good and just fill in the blank, a good follower of Jesus, a good husband, a good father, a good man, a good pastor, a good brother, a good friend. I want to live up to that. So I've got to constantly renew my mind in that area. I have to constantly renew my mind as to not just having purity in actions. I want to have a pure heart and mind before the Lord so that my motive pleases God. And then to renew my mind about victory that is not up to me. It's trusting more on his. I don't think it's so much my struggle as much as my surrender and walking in his victory. He already provided the victory for us. We can receive him and thank him for it. Here's the prayer, Colossians chapter 1. It fits in with that wisdom and understanding we've been talking about and living it out. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with, please notice, the knowledge of his, God's will in all what? Wisdom and spiritual understanding. See that? There it is again. Wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, so that you may walk or live in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. Don't you know God wants us to be fruitful? Then he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's so important. It's not just that I'm doing something for God. He's my father and I'm getting to know him better. And out of knowing him, I can walk in spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then finally, verse 11, and be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience or perseverance, whatever, however your translation may say it, and long suffering, wait a minute, with joy. That's wisdom and understanding. I pray that for us because I want it for us. I want us to have wisdom and understanding so that we live in a manner that's worthy of God, fully pleasing him, that we're fruitful in every good work. We get to know him better and we're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all perseverance and long suffering with joy, giving him thanks. Amen. Live up to your identity in Christ. Embrace and pursue purity and walk in the victory that Jesus has already provided for you. I hope you receive that, walk in it today. Identity, purity, victory. Would you say it with me? Identity, purity, victory. Lord bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray right now that you would just search our heart. We would just focus on you right now and then help us, Lord. We want to seek you for how we need to live this out right now. In fact, would you look at me one more second? I'm sorry. I just sensed this because of how James wrote it. I want to ask you, will you seek God for wisdom and understanding and how to live this truth out in your relationships with your family and friends? But here's how I want to ask you to think about it. And how you can live it out in a way that we all grow closer to the Lord and grow more like him. Because that's ultimately God's will. That whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm facing, it should draw me to God and his will. I want to ask if you'll do that today. And Father, I pray that you would just draw us to that reality and that truth. And Lord, that you would just have your way right now. Lord, I know some people are hurting when they think about relationships. Lord, it's a new day, and we can't have a better tomorrow if we're thinking about yesterday all the time, as someone said. Help us, Lord, to be able to learn from the past, but help us not live in it and dwell on it. Help us to move forward. You're a God of new beginnings, and I pray that you would help us to do that, Lord. I pray for those of us who are married. Help us have wisdom and understanding and how to live that out, even in our times of disagreement. Lord, I pray that for those of us who are parents, help us to lead our sons and daughters in ways that honor you and to train them, Lord, toward your will and your heart, to know you for themselves. Lord, I pray for those who are single, you would just use them mightily in ministry, and I'm thankful they have a freedom and flexibility that they can pursue. But if it's in their heart to marry, would you give them wisdom and help them in pursuing a godly man or a godly woman that they could serve you together in? Lord, help us just to be faithful followers of you. Maybe even in friendships, maybe some need to be reevaluated. Some friends can bring us down, some can help us up. Help us to just be willing to trust you and do your will. Now, before you open your eyes and raise your head, can I just ask you this morning if you want prayer, maybe in a particular area of a relationship? I'm not going to try to pry it out of you. I just want to pray for you. But if you want prayer this morning, maybe for wisdom, I think we all would say yes, but I want to ask you in a specific relationship this morning. If you want God's wisdom and discernment, I'd like to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? My goodness, thank you so much. All right, can we stand? Father, I thank you that you are the God of relationships, God of love. You designed family and friends, and I'm asking for each one of my brothers and sisters right now, maybe even joining online, seeking wisdom and direction and discernment from you. I wanna ask because you said to ask, and I'm gonna ask in faith. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that there will be breakthrough. Lord, as we seek you I pray that spirits are gonna be driven back and deception and darkness and truth is gonna enter and light is gonna enter and you're gonna prevail and your will is gonna be accomplished in these relationships. For your glory and honor, help us to grow closer to you and to grow more like you through it, trusting you every step of the way. In Jesus' name.